right, everyone. Welcome to this evening's episode of the Hot Widows Club podcast. My name is Crystal. I'm the hot widow of Eric. And with me this evening, I have the very hot widow of Ross, Allie.
Hi.
Thank you all for joining the Hot Widows Club podcast. I know that we didn't have an episode last week. I'm sure you all were waiting with bated breath. However, here we are recording an episode. Life's been nuts. We've had so many different things going on.
It's a new year.
It is a new year full of new things. I'm learning how to play the banjo.
Mm-hmm.
Step one, get an instructor and a banjo. Figure out how to play it. Maybe YouTube that.
Uh-huh.
So it's a really lofty goal for me. That's huge.
It's a big goal.
I was telling a friend, like, what if I become really good at playing the banjo and I just start taking it everywhere I go?
Because you never know when there's going to be a banjo moment.
What the heck's a banjo moment?
Any moment of time that would be slightly better with banjo music.
Huh?
Will you play us something on here? I feel like you have to.
I kind of feel like, yeah, I hope I can do a cover of something on here.
Maybe that should be your goal by the end of this year, as you're going to play a cover on the podcast.
Only if you record me, baby.
Full circle. I will record you. I always record you. Crotch shots. Put the banjo right there. It's perfect.
Place the banjo over your crotch. All right. Hot Widows Club podcast. What is going on in our grief journey? I have so many different things going on in my grief journey. And I think tonight's episode will help me in my grief journey by sharing some of this information. But I also think some of our listeners would be really excited and or maybe benefit from some of this information, or maybe not. Maybe be like, what the hell, Bobby? Why would you? I don't know. Who knows? Who cares? It's my journey, not yours. But I'm here to share my journey with you so that you know it's safe to share yours with others.
Yeah.
So,
we're always vulnerable on here.
We are vulnerable.
So take all of this with grace.
Mm-hmm. Al, before we get into the meat and potatoes of the episode, what sort of updates do you have for this audience tonight?
So thanks to my friend Renee, I am doing a beginner's hip hop dance class. There is going to be a recital. That's going to be great. Not sure if I'm going to do the recital yet, but
I hope you do. If you go to a recital,
I mean, how funny would that be? You'd have to be there. Number one fan.
If I'm
number
not,
one hype girl.
If I'm not in the front row of this episode of the dance recital, it's going to be crazy. All right, everyone. So quick update. We are recording with our kids in the studio this evening. So if you hear some crying out there, it's one of our kids. So Allie stepped out for a second to go console the tiny children and take care of them. And I'm carrying the torch here. So Allie, it took a huge leap to do this hip-hop class. I'm so proud of her. Her friend Renee is a huge supporter of all things that Allie does. And this is a really exciting time for her. And so we need to be cheering her on as she goes through this new journey. I have the funniest story about Allie and I. We have been planning on doing something together for like a week. And we said, hey, let's go to a hockey game. So I said, yeah, I'm going to get some hockey tickets. So I go online and get hockey tickets. And in Nebraska, Omaha, we have two different teams that we can go to. So go to the Mavs, or we could go to the Lancers. And so I said, hey, let's go to this Lancers game. And she said, yeah, I'll go. Send me where you got your tickets. And I sent them to her. So we go to the game. We're having a blast. And I'm like, where's Allie at? So I text her and she's like, I'm here. Well, if you know Allie, like, she doesn't go anywhere without like a production, right? So she's got these two boys, you know, Hanky's got this flaming red hair and Allie's always rushing. And so everywhere they go, they make a statement. And I'm like, I swear, if she was here, I would have seen her come in. Like, what the hell, Allie, where are you? And she's like, I'm in section 104. I'm right down by the ice. And I said, well, I got to go because my girls don't want to be here anymore. And we need to get going. She's like, well, I'm staying. So I'll see you later. All night long, I'm stewing. And I'm like, Allie, like, did you go to the actual hockey game or not? And I'm thinking about this and I'm asking her questions. I'm like, why would she avoid the hockey game with me? Like, I don't get it. I could not figure it out. Finally, yesterday morning, my last text to Allie was, which team did you buy tickets for? Allie, what team did you buy tickets for?
The Mavericks, UNO.
And I bought tickets for the Omaha Lancers. So we were totally across town from each other, thinking we're at the same hockey game.
Yeah, and I'm like standing up at the hockey game, looking everywhere for you. I can't, my boys were really into the game, and I didn't want to mess that up. So we just sat there, and I was like looking everywhere. I'm sure the people behind me are like, what are you doing? Because I kept standing. I kept looking around. I was like, 104 is right next to us. Like, how am I missing you? Yeah. How am I missing you plus your three kids?
That's what I was saying. When you stepped out, I said, Allie, I think every time she goes in somewhere, she's a production because Hank's hair is flying all over the place. She's always coming in late. So you just don't miss her.
Uh-huh.
So anyways, yes, that was Allie and I's big blunder of the week.
Oh my gosh, was that my screw up?
No, it was mine. I mean, I looked back at my text and all I sent you was the seat number and the section.
Okay.
And so you would have never
I just Googled hockey Omaha and that's what popped up. I will be perfectly honest. I didn't know the Lancers were still playing.
Oh yeah.
My bad. Well, it's crazy that UNO was playing the exact same night, exact same time.
And I had called. So here's why it was so wild. And this is part of the widowhood journey. So I had a really long week at work. Like if it could have gone wrong, it went wrong. If it was bizarre, it happened this week at work. And I was really stressed. I had a lot going on in my life. Allie and I, which we'll talk about in a little bit later, we have been struggling just a little bit. And so I needed her. And so I woke up in the morning and I'm like, what happened? Like I called her before we left. I was like, she knew I needed to see her. Mm-hmm. Like, why didn't she try harder to find me? Mm-hmm. I was really, really surprised by this. So anyways, it's a hilarious story. But
yeah, because I was standing up the whole time trying to find you.
Yeah.
And then when I think it's periods.
Yeah.
There's periods in between. We would go up and get water and I'm like looking everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, how did I miss you?
I was doing the exact same thing, so.
Oh, that's so funny.
I know.
The odds.
Yeah. So I have a quote that I saw that I absolutely love that I want to share, Allie, and I just want to get your thoughts on it.
Okay.
And so I saw this somewhere and I thought it was really special to our grief journey, but it says, if you knew time as well as I did, said the Mad Hatter, you wouldn't be wasting it.
Hmm.
And do you feel like through our grief journey, our widowhood journey, cancer journey, that we realize now more than ever how precious time is and allocating that to the things that mean something?
Oh, absolutely. And the people.
Yeah.
I make it very much a point that the people that are important to me, I spend so much time with them.
Right.
And when Ross passed away, I needed my tribe more than anyone, mm-hmm. more than any time in my life. And I'll be honest, like while I was married to Ross, like at the beginning, you're so consumed in your relationship and it's exciting. And then you have kids and you're consumed by your little kids. And then you have cancer and you're consumed by the cancer. So when I lost all of that, my relationship with Ross, I was like, I focused on my friendships. And it has been so eye-opening to me on how much I felt like I had been missing with my friends. And they all feel the same way. They all were doing the exact same thing I was doing, raising little kids
right.
and focused on their marriage and what their jobs. You know, we all have important jobs. And so over the last year and a half, I've really connected back to those friendships and they're so important to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I never want to go back to where I was before. Where I hate to say it, was so consumed into my relationship with somebody else that I lost sight of my friendships.
Right.
I don't know. My world, my life, my perspective has totally changed.
Oh my God.
Especially with health.
Yeah.
Like I will never ever take my health for granted. I mean, I like get so nervous. I worry about something happening to my parents. I mean, I'm like so worried about I'm like hypersensitive to health stuff.
Yeah. It is crazy. So when you go through this journey, you know, like Allie said, like your life is consumed with your kids, your spouse, your job. And it's almost, you don't realize it until you, one of those things is gone, mm-hmm. it's a very selfish feeling when they're gone. Cause you're like, gosh, I gave everything to these people and now here I am and I need a whole new world. I have a whole new world in front of me, right? What used to consume my time is now completely gone. So when you're a caretaker, especially of your spouse or anyone that you've lost, you lose your purpose of taking care of them. You lose your partner or whomever that might be. And you realize how critically important, like Allie said, all those external things were that you put on the back burner. But you also realize how fucking special those people are that are like, don't worry, girl, I got you.
Yes.
I don't care. I don't care about that. And that's the type of people that you want in your life on this journey. Those are the ones to keep around. Don't keep the other ones. I mean, keep whoever you want, keep your priorities, but remember those ones that are still there no matter what, no matter what you're doing, no matter how you, because I know that I pushed a lot of people away in grief or in Eric's health journey because it was COVID. And I was trying to, I have a big job and I was trying to maintain that. I'm trying to get three kids, two kids in school, one kid in preschool. And I'm trying to navigate this whole household during a pandemic. And it was just me. Allie, you know what that's like. And so I pushed a lot of people away. And after Eric died, I pushed a lot of people away who kept coming and saying, hey, I want to help. I want to be there for you. But they didn't get it. They didn't know what I needed. And it wasn't that I didn't care about them or didn't want to try. It was just in the moment, I needed to be with the people who knew how bad I was hurting in the moment. And I think that's who I surround myself with, is the people who stuck by me, even when, you know what, maybe I wasn't at my best and didn't do the best that I could have done in that moment. But you know what? Time's a bitch. I'm getting wrinkles too, by the way. Hot Widows Club podcast is getting wrinkly. So if anyone has any great suggestions for wrinkles around your eyes, probably because you cry so much, I could really use some potion for that. And I'm not a potion kind of gal, so.
Yeah, I've noticed that for me too. It's got to be the crying.
I don't know.
And stress. I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The responsibility of everything on your shoulders.
Yeah. So I don't know if we should call us like the hot wrinkly those podcasts. I'm not that
I
wrinkly.
Think we should clarify. We don't, I mean, you're hot. I just don't look at myself as hot. Like that whole concept is funny to me.
It is funny. Like, I don't think of myself as hot either.
No, not at all. So I don't know. When I have to tell people the name sometimes, it just makes me giggle because I'm like, and I have to tell them too, because I really don't want people to think I think I'm hot. Like that's not.
You know what's funny?
It's funny to me.
It is funny. But what one really good friend of mine was telling me, she was talking about like my journey. And she's like, you know, when you started the Hot Widows Club podcast, you know, it was so good for you. It was like this very cathartic space. And that's really when I saw your journey change. And I think that is true because I shared my story with the world. I share it with Allie, but I share it with the world. And if you are a widow, and you haven't aired your entire story from start to finish with someone, reach out to us because we want to have you on our podcast so you can do that, because I think that's a very releasing feeling for widows and widowers out there. I know when Joe and I first got a chance to really hear one another's true story start to finish, both of us were exhausted at the end because we just felt so good to air our stories with someone. Because it's a big weight. And we know things as widows and widowers like that nobody else in this world gets. Like you just don't get it when you have a spouse. Like, and Joe didn't have this, but I know Allie has. But when you have a spouse on hospice and you're administering lethal doses of medication, I mean, that's what you're intended to do. Like make a dying person comfortable. Mm-hmm. And when you're the sole person responsible for doing that, and hospice just says, we wouldn't give you something if you couldn't administer it. But it's still scary when you have these big drugs and you're giving them to your dying spouse. Like there's nothing worse than that feeling. Mm-hmm. And so like people, when you can share that feeling with other people,
right?
It's a really special dump off of your chest for someone who gets it.
Yeah. No, I really haven't shared that last week of Ross's life. I don't even know if I fully shared it with you. I feel like I haven't shared it with a lot of people.
I don't think you have. I mean, you've shared lots of bits and pieces, but we really haven't given the story. I mean, I haven't given the whole story of Eric's last 4 to 5 days either, but
I want to do that this year. Mm-hmm. I want to share that.
That's a goal.
It's a goal for me. It's a huge, mm-hmm. it's hard.
It is the hardest. Mm-hmm. I know Allie posted over Christmas about, you know, when you've laid weeping over your dying spouse's body, then you know how we feel at Christmas time. That's really the standard answer I want to give. Like, hey, my husband's dead. Like, that's how my Christmas went. No matter what, every year I feel that way. But it is a big hospice. The hospice journey is huge. Mm-hmm. Really, really huge. It's big. And so sharing that is huge for us, both of us.
Yep.
So there's something else big that Allie and I have been talking about off the air, and actually, ironically enough, on the air, that didn't end up getting aired for many reasons, which we may or may not share this evening. But so as you may be aware, may not be aware, late this summer, I went on a date with someone and decided there's no way in hell I was going on another date with that person. And then I did go on another date with that person. And then I was like, no way am I going on another date with this person. And then I did go on another date with that person. And then that cycle just kept going until now. I guess I'm ready to humbly admit I am in a relationship with someone.
Aww.
And so, of course, Allie knows about this journey. Like, there's no surprise. She's not hearing about this for the first time tonight. It's been a mixed bag of emotions as I've navigated this journey. But it's been hard on Allie, and it's been hard on me. It's been confusing for me, confusing for Allie. There's lots of different things that go with it. So I thought tonight I would like to open up to allow Allie to ask me some questions on how this is affecting me, my widowhood journey. But I will preface this with, we did try to record last week and Allie asked me that question and I became frustrated and pretty defensive, and because I didn't want to talk about it yet. And it was something that Allie knew was pretty private to me. But she said to me, "Crystal, people that are listening, they want to know where we're at in the moment, here and now. Like, share what's important." And so I thought about that after I got real pissed at her and reflected on it and said, "Hey, you know what? This is why we do this podcast. This is what people want to know. They want to hear where we're at." And so I think, you know, now is the time. And I appreciate you, Allie, for encouraging me to talk about it. So
I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
I think it's a very, very vulnerable space.
It is.
And it's scary because you're afraid of what others are going to think. And also, maybe because you're still confused. I don't know. Well, mm-hmm. maybe we can dive into that. But I just know, because I've been along this journey with Crystal for the last, you know, several months, and I've seen her go through so many questions, you know, and I would love for you to share, like, what the beginning process was like, what scared you the most, and how you were, you know, got through that.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
To move forward.
Yeah. So first of all, let me start with, before Eric, I never dated anyone. So, like, for me to be in a relationship is totally bizarre. In fact, I went off to college. I grew up in rural Nebraska. I went off to college. My parents were convinced I was a liberal lesbian going off to read books and burn my bra at college, right? And so I go to college. I live with my best friend in college. You know, she does her thing. I take care of her because that's my natural tendency. And I have this plethora of friends around me, plethora of organizations I'm a part of. I'm just this little social butterfly who floats around partying and burning books. And no, so I would cute. Never burn a book. I would burn a bra, but never a book. Reading books, though. Anyways, that was my life. And I never, ever dated. I had one other person that I can say I dated that wasn't Eric. And so then one day I was 22 and they come home with Eric. And my parents like, well, she's not a lesbian anymore. and then I'm in a relationship with Eric and off I go. And so I'm with Eric, you know, I have this relationship and it was wonderful and amazing. And then he died. So that happened. And now, you know, for 2 years, I'm sad. I'm really, really sad. For the first year, I lay on the couch eating. At one point, I do remember eating Funyuns and donut holes in the dark. That was my year. And then the next year, I meet, you know, I'm with Allie. I meet some other people. And I come to this whole different headspace, this whole different headspace that says, you're alive. Like, you're a person. You're alive. Like, you deserve to be happy doing whatever you want to be happy doing, whatever that feels like. But that didn't feel like I wanted to be in a relationship. I had a relationship. I have many relationships. And so my love for other people, like you'll hear me say, I just absolutely love Allie. I truly mean that. I love Allie. She is enough for me. My friend Cindy, I absolutely love her. She is enough for me. Like, I don't need a man in my life. And so when I met him and he asked me out, you know, for the first couple weeks, you know, we just chatted and he was relentless, wouldn't leave me alone. And I imbibed because I'm confident that at that moment I needed that attention. And so I kept going, you know, with the conversation and such. And he asked me out. I don't have a clue how to go on a date. Like, I can talk to Allie for hours.
Yeah.
But don't ask me to talk to a man because I have no idea what to say or do. But I have, it's what's funny is that I have hundreds of males in my life. In fact, the other day, Uncle Rick was like, you got a lot of guys in your life. So it's so normal for me to have friendships with men, but don't ask me to go on a date.
Okay, can I interrupt you just right here?
Yeah.
Because the cutest, I will never, ever forget this. Crystal and I were in the car together. Where were we going? I can't even remember. We were driving somewhere.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Maybe. Okay, this is it. Now it's coming back to me. We were on the phone. I was in my car. Sorry.
Okay.
I was in my car driving with and talking to you.
Okay.
And you were telling me about the first date that you went on with him. And I will never forget. He grabbed my hand. He put his arm around me and I go, what? Because you have to understand, we haven't had any.
No one has touched us.
No one has touched us. And I'm like, oh my God.
It was so weird to me because, like, first of all, no one has touched us because we're very standoffish to men. We have to be extremely awkward, especially like,
oh my God, I'm so awkward.
Like, we have no idea what we're doing.
I'm oblivious. So
we're either oblivious and awkward or like people are just petrified of us. So they just leave us alone because we're like emotional, right? And so, yeah, I do remember that. And I was like, oh my God.
I was like squealing in the car. Like, I'm 16 years old. Oh my God, he holds your hand.
Okay, so then we go on this date. I don't know what to tell my kids. I'm freaking out. And I'm feeling so guilty about not telling my kids. So we go on subsequent dates. Unbeknownst to me, I end up, you know, falling for this situation that I'm in. And I guess that's what leads me to today. So late summer to today. Does that answer your question? I know I got off on a tangent. I mean, I think that's the story.
Yeah.
How did I feel?
No, I think there's a lot. Again, the reason I'm talking about this is because Crystal and I feel like I've gone through this journey with her.
Yeah, she has.
But I want you to talk about how you also kept pushing him away. Like,
oh,
it was,
gosh,
like,
yes,
you'd push him away and then he'd come back. Mm-hmm. And then he just kept coming back.
Yes. He was very persistent. And so I kept pushing him away because I didn't know what I wanted. It's not that I wasn't interested in what he had to offer me. I was just didn't know what I wanted. So, you know, I would do my best to push him away. He didn't care. He just kept coming back and he was always there and like always very, very respectful of me. And he would always be like, well, you know, that's okay. I'll just call you tomorrow then. Or, okay, I know you need to go be with Allie. So that's fine. I'll just talk to you next week. But he wouldn't stop. He would never be like, he would never say, you know, you're too much for me or your ups and downs are driving me nuts. Or he just would always keep coming back. And so finally, I realized, okay, why do I keep trying to sabotage this Connie style, right? Like, I still do. I would say even as often as this weekend, I'm still trying to sabotage it. But he still sticks around and still kind to me and still like accepts me where I'm at in the moment. But it's been really scary because I don't know what I want. I didn't know what I wanted then. I don't know what I want now. But I know what I do appreciate is that he walks alongside my journey and does not push me, does not rush me. He knows I'm not from Russia, so I'm not going to be Russian.
But I remember you talking about at the beginning, or not even in the beginning, like 2 to 3 months in, it's really hard to also feel the love for Eric. It's like you have this love for Eric that will always be there. But then you're also falling for somebody else. It's like,
yeah,
so many mixed emotions and also being worried about your kids, like on top of that.
Let me tell you something hilarious about that.
Okay. Please.
So I'm going to start with when you have your first kid, there's so much love. It's that bursting of love in your heart that you're like, how can I ever love another? Like, is there room in my heart to love another? And then you have the second and you're like, how could I ever love another? And then you have a third. And there's a lot of room in your heart for love. There's a lot of room in your mind for love, real love. Love isn't, okay, now, if you're consummating your love, there is only room for one love. But with your just love, there is so much of it to give. And I feel like that is one of my strengths, is that I have a ton of love to give. So when I say I love, I mean I love. And so I love my kids so much. I didn't think there was room. And I loved Eric so much. And I didn't think there'd be room to ever even think about liking someone else again in the way that I loved Eric so much. But there is totally space in my heart for that. Eric is the hugest part of my life. In fact, like we talk about him all the time, the kids and I, even, you know, the gentleman I'm dating, you know, he's very well aware of obviously my situation and Eric. And we talk about it all the time. The kids are like, oh, my dad does this, or, you know, and he'll even say like, well, what did you and your dad do? Which is cool. But this weekend when I was supposed to go to the hockey game with Allie, before we left, I said, hey, Justin, can I talk to you about something? And he said, yeah, sure. What? I said, hey, you know, I love Allie, right? And he said, yeah. I said, you know, I love her, right? And he said, yeah. I said, okay, you know, I really like you too, right? He's like, yeah, I understand. I said, and I love my kids, right? And he's like, yeah. And I basically walked out of the room skipping. I'm like, I love Allie. I love my kids. But I wanted him to know, like, there's many people I love in my life and care about and want to spend time with. And he's really accepting of that. But there is room. There is certainly room to love Eric. And there is certainly room to be interested in exploring those emotions with someone else at some point in your life. I didn't think there was. 2 years ago when Eric died, there was no room for anything besides a broken heart and my yearning for Eric. But today, as time, which who knows how much of it we have or don't have, has helped me to heal, and this podcast, sharing my story, sharing my journey all the time, has helped me to heal. Eric has helped me to heal. Like, he walks alongside me still. I'm very confident of that. And so I guess there is room, I think, to answer your question. I found that room in my mind, in my heart, but not after writing many stories about why this is never going to work and I shouldn't do it. There was just one day I said, why are you doing this? Stop saying it's not going to work and start thinking it could work. Mm-hmm. And that took me to today. February. Oh, it's not February. January.
It's February?
January 15th.
I lost 15 days.
Oh, well, who cares? What other questions do you have for me?
When did you feel like it was right to introduce him to your kids? And what was their reaction?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so Tristan and I are going on dates.
Can I just interrupt for one second? Hopefully he doesn't mind this. But I have to share because it's hilarious. So for the first, like, month and a half.
He doesn't know this.
Okay, well, sorry, Justin.
Care.
Okay, good. We would call him McLovin.
McLovin? McLovin?
He was trying so hard.
And I was like, how's McLovin today? Is McLovin still contacting you?
Or he would text me and I'd be like, it's McLovin. I mean, we still call him that every now and then.
Oh, I still call him that all the time.
Sorry, Justin. He's a very kind man. He's great sense of humor. He will be fine with it. What was I saying? Oh, so hiding it. So we would go out and I would share my location with Allie and I'd be like, if he calls me.
Like, what am I going to do? Yeah, I know. I still love that you do that. She still does that, Justin. Like, love it.
And so we would go out and I wasn't, you know, I wish I would have been, but I wasn't honest with the kids. And I would say I was going with Allie somewhere or doing some work stuff. And I felt so guilty. And so I just one day decided, like, I'm not going to do this. I will not lie to my kids. Like, we're a very honest family and I will never do this. And this is, you know, after like our fourth date or so. And so I said, guys, you know, a guy asked mom out and they said, oh, we want to meet him. I said, well, why don't I go on a date with him first? And then we'll see if he's worth you guys meeting. And so but I had already been on dates with him. And so we went on a date and I said, hey, my kids are interested in meeting you. And he's like, that's fine. Let's do this. So I invited him to come over and help me hang up Halloween lights. And my kids met him. And I remember Millie, I was standing behind a door and he was outside. I looked at Millie. I said, Millie, is he cute? And I whispered it. And she looked at me with this grin and two thumbs up. It was really sweet.
I didn't know that story.
Yeah. And so then he just, you know, he would come over and do things. And there was, you know, again, sabotaging it, of course. I said, guys, do you guys think I should keep this up with Justin or not? And they said, Mom, we really like him. Why wouldn't you? Aww. And they said, he helps you fix things. We don't want you to waste your money fixing things. It was really sweet. Aww. They think that Justin is just the repairman.
Oh, my gosh. So sweet.
Yeah.
I'm so glad they like him.
Yeah.
And there was no, like, you know, hurt there.
No. You don't think so. I think that, you know, we've been slow and, you know, he's, like I said, he's good with them and respectful. So, you know, I'm happy about that. It makes me feel good and they like it and it's comfortable for me. And so I guess I'm here. I'm admitting this is where I'm at.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Now, this was really hard.
It was really hard. But Allie's right. There are people out there who are going through this widowhood journey that, you know, it's mine. It doesn't matter it doesn't matter. It's yours. And this is where I'm at. And there's no shame in my game. Like, why would I hide what I'm doing? It's my journey. I don't care what anyone else says. They can lick it like a lollipop should be licked. Came to my senses and I chill for a minute. Right? I mean, it's mine. That's what we say on this podcast. So why do I hide behind it?
Yeah. And I just think that it helps me, like, going through or like watching what you're going through has helped me. It's challenged me for sure. It's challenged our relationship, but also other people are going through that. You know, there's others out there that are maybe scared to even talk about it.
Yeah.
It's like, this is life. But I would love for you to share also the holidays, because the holidays were still hard. even though you had McLovin, right. You're still hard.
Yeah. So the holidays, my relationship with McLovin does not change my relationship with grief. So for me, it did not make grief any different from where I was at in the moment. Keep in mind, my grief journey was different. When I say I laid on the couch for a year, I am not kidding you. I truly did that. I made obligatory trips to deliver my kids where they needed to go. I went to work. I wiped my ass. I took a shower. I jacked steel. And that's it. And that's what I did for a year. And I cried. And I cried and I pushed anyone away who tried to be around me. So that was my first year of widowhood. And then, you know, finally I came out of this fog and decided I wanted to be something different. And I'm really happy with who I am today and where I'm at today. And McLovin or no McLovin, like I was as happy late summer without him in my life as I was now with him in my life. This summer, I had no idea that there was room for him. You know, now there, I know there is room and that's okay. But the holidays, they were still hard, right? They still had, I still had to process Eric not seeing the kids and the kids not seeing him and not having him. I'd take the kids to the dentist this week and had to do a whole bunch of dental work. My God, I'm gonna need a second job. Someone needs to start paying us to podcast because I had to pay $500 to get these kids' grills worked on this week. It's crazy. But I had two in a chair. And if I had two parents, I could have been there. But I felt like I was walking back and forth to each kid, like trying to give them equal amount of time while they were both getting worked on and with laughing gas. And I felt like, oh my gosh, I wish Eric was here because Eric could totally be with Ben and I could be with Violet. You know, him and I could slip back and forth. And I was really sad about that. Now, I don't know, if that would have changed if I would have asked McLovin to go with me. I wouldn't at this moment, maybe in many years down the road, that might be something. But the reality is it didn't change the way I felt or what I needed during the holidays for my grief journey.
Yeah. So that's, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
It's important.
Yeah.
That having a new relationship doesn't change your grief.
I didn't think it did, but I also.
Everybody's different.
Right. Mm-hmm. I didn't, I don't know if I would have dated sooner if that would have. Like, I wonder if I would have met someone sooner. Would that have helped me feel more alive that first year and pick me up? Maybe. I have no idea. All I know is what I did and when I did it. I hope no one out there is judging me.
No, nobody's judging you. We all have grace for you. You know, this is hard.
Yeah, it is.
This is real and this is life.
Yeah, it's real widowhood.
And you're living. We all should be proud that you're just living life. You're not still on the couch.
Eating donut holes and Funyuns.
Yeah.
Which is a banging ass combination. Let me tell you. Al, how has this affected our friendship? How has this affected you and I? What changes?
I mean, I think our friendship is strong as ever. I tell a lot of people this. My relationship to Crystal is bigger than like a best friend. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a marriage.
Mm-hmm. Except for the bath situation.
Right.
Did you see my response to your bath text today?
Yeah, that you would take a bath with me if it wasn't awkward.
And I would. I Thank totally you. Would, but Thank that you. Would be weird.
But as we go through this, like I feel like her going through stuff is me going through stuff. When she first started dating, I was squealing and I was so excited for her. And then as I started to... As I started to notice that she was liking him, even though she wouldn't admit it, and she kept telling me, like, no, this is nothing. This is going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple times. I knew that she liked him, and I knew that he kept coming back and that he really liked her, and there was just it wasn't going to end. I shared with Crystal many a tears because I was so afraid of losing Crystal. And I told her so many times, please don't leave me. Like, I need you. I need you. I need you. I need you. Mm-hmm. And the reason maybe I should explain why I feel like I need Crystal. So I can do all of this on my own. I mean, I've been doing everything on my own for 17 months now without Ross.
You're doing great.
And it's fucking hard. It is the hardest thing ever. It is. And I know I tell that to everybody and they're probably like, wah, wah, wah. But it's until you have gone through,
you don't get it. Right.
I lost the love of my life. I lost my kid's dad. Okay. And I'm the sole parent and I'm the CFO of a company who I swear all day long, I'm making decisions. I'm helping people. I'm helping the company. It's a lot of work. And then I come home and I'm answering a million questions from my kids and I'm making meals and I'm wiping butts and I'm taking Gus to a million practices and Hank to who knows what Hank's doing.
That is true. You never know what that kid is doing.
It's a lot. It's a lot on my shoulders. It's a lot on your shoulders. You go through the same thing. And the reason I have needed Crystal is because Crystal gets me. Crystal gets what I have gone through. Crystal understands how hard it is to live this life. And
I live next door too.
Yeah.
Across the street, basically.
And I don't want to lose her. Like, the other thing going through losing the love of your life and your best friend is that I also have this, losing another person is a huge fear of mine. Mm-hmm. Like, it's almost like a trigger. It's traumatic.
Yeah.
Going through, like, Crystal and I have both, through this process, have lost friendships. And losing those friendships might seem like not a big deal, but just losing somebody else is like, I don't know. We take it harder. Let's just say we take it harder than we did before.
I lost one friend and it is, you know, outside of losing my husband, the most impactful thing in my entire life. The most impactful because I lost Eric and then I lost my best friend.
Mm-hmm. And by lose, we mean like, the friendship is gone.
Correct.
They're still alive. Mm-hmm.
Yes, correct.
We should probably.
Correct.
Yes. And so I was afraid of losing Crystal. And I knew she wasn't going anywhere. I mean, we still talk all day. We text and we call and she sends me videos and I just love her. And my initial reaction was, I don't want to lose this. I don't want to lose what we have. Mm-hmm. And so there's been a lot of, you know, reassurances from her of like, I'm not going anywhere. Right. I'm still here. But also it's made me, you know, made me realize like, maybe I don't want to be alone. Maybe I want something like that. I don't know for sure.
Maybe you have room in your heart to love.
I'm sure I do.
I know you do. You have a beautiful soul.
Thanks, Crystal. But anyway, so that's been a journey.
Yeah, I'm never going anywhere. I'm maintaining that. I mean, once I'm in your life, unless you kick me out, I'm not going anywhere.
I know. But I'm not just like any ordinary friend.
I know. You're my love. You're my lover. I'd do anything besides take a bath with you.
I didn't ask her to take a bath, people.
But okay, wait a minute. If she would ask me, I would be there in a heartbeat. Let me clarify that. If she said, will you take a bath with me? I would say, yes, I'll be right over. Mm-hmm. That wouldn't change ever. But she didn't ask me that. I just.
Yeah.
But the reality is this friendship that we have, Allie's right. It is very different than a friendship. It's different than the friendship that I have with Cindis or the different than the friendship that I have with Mal or Sam, et cetera. Like what we have is just next level something. Also, any of the widows and widowers in my life is next level. It's not next Allie level. I love you all, but Allie's my, she put a ring on it first. So,
sorry, McLovin. You can suck a lollipop.
There is not room for more rings. I'm really sorry about that. You can suck a lollipop, in the words of Allie.
I have met McLovin. He's a great guy, I'm sure. I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know if he likes me, but he's...
Likes you. I'm sure he loves you. He was anxious looking for you too. Like, so he's looking around the hockey
game. In the hockey game.
My whole family is looking for you. So that was a big step for me, taking McLovin out
to the hockey game. How did that make you feel? How did it make you feel going out on your first date? Like,
with my kids.
No, let's back up.
Okay.
Your first date in public with another.
Oh my God. I was so anxious. Sweat dripping down my back.
Like, what were you anxious about? Running into somebody and having to explain?
I was anxious about having a conversation with him. Like, if you're just my friend, like, I can have a conversation with any male. That's just what I do. But someone that is interested in me is so different than either a friend or like a business relationship. And so, I mean, you've seen me, Allie. Like, I talk to guys all the time. I'm the flirtiest of all flirty people in the world. Like, that's just what I do. Men,
yes.
Women, it doesn't matter. I'll talk to anyone. But whew, someone in a relationship. And so I was so nervous, sweating all over the place. There were leather seats. I slid off of it because I had a dress on. And like the back of my thighs were sweating. But I was most nervous, yes, running into someone I knew. Like that scared the crap out of me. Someone seeing me. How am I going to like say what I'm doing? Like, how do I introduce this person? Like, how do I not be rude and be like, oh, there's this person right next to me. And what words do I use? And I don't know. I think that's what scared me the most is, number one, how do I behave like an adult, a human adult, a 40-year-old engaging in a date, which I haven't been on since I was 22.
Yeah. It's got to be so weird starting to date when you have kids and it's just like
And you're
messy.
A widow.
Yeah.
It's not the same. It is. And I've shared that with him too. Like, I've had to say, McLovin, like, these kids don't ever go away. Just so you know, like, there's no
split time.
There's no split time here. Like, this is it. This is my life. This is what you get. Like, they're always here.
It's not just me. It's three other people too.
Right.
There's four of us.
Right. And so
five, like, with me.
Seven with Allie's family. And so, like, it's just a lot. And he's accepted that. He's accepted all the chaos that is my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all the friends, everything. So going out that first time was really scary. And for any of you guys who are doing that for the first time, I don't know what to tell you except for Godspeed. Fucking scary. But now, here I've been doing it for a few months, I would also come back and say, it's your journey. Anyone who tries to interfere with your journey can lick a lollipop. She's so cute when she said it too.
Oh, God.
Okay. And then, so my first time taking him out though with my kids was Friday night.
At the hockey game.
That was also very scary.
And like, I totally missed it all.
I tried
to be there.
I know you did. We got in the car together, like me, McLovin, the kids, we drove together.
Did you
we
guys went. Hold hands?
We did.
Oh my gosh.
And so we're sitting there watching the hockey game and my daughter is looking around. I'm like, Millie, what are you looking at? And she's like, oh, Cameron's over there. Cameron's my nephew. So my nephews show up there.
No.
Yeah. And
I didn't know that.
So they see me and him and my kids. And, you know, I said, I introduced him. I was like, this is my friend, McLovin. I said his name. And, you know, he's like, how long are you going to keep saying my friend? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know.
Forever.
It's better than McLovin, I guess. Yeah. I am going to have to warn him tonight about this.
You have some time before it airs.
Yeah. That was really, it was just a weird feeling. I wish I could describe it. It felt okay that we were doing it. Like, I didn't feel uncomfortable, but it also was just a different feeling. It was a feeling, could you call it a feeling of moving forward? It's not like I was happy, like skipping through the place, but I was okay with it, but it just felt.
That's a huge step.
It was. It really Massive. Was huge, right? And I thought that my boo was going to be there.
I tried to be there. I bought
to help
tickets.
Me with it.
I was at hockey.
But Stop it was ring. Fine.
Arena.
Maybe that was Eric. Maybe that was Eric saying, this is what you need to do, Crystal. I'm okay with it. This is where you need to be. Mm-hmm. Maybe that was it. Lover boy, are you talking to me? Oh, Ellie, what else can I answer for you? This is a big topic tonight. It's a big episode.
I know, it's huge. I'm trying to think what other people, I just know so much. So what was it like introducing him to your other friends?
I haven't done that much. I did introduce him to my very best friends from college who I'm very near and dear to. That was also weird, but he kind of just like slid right in and fit right in. And they were like, he's fine. Like, what are you worried about?
Aww.
And I'm like, well, is he like, I felt like a little girl. I'm like, is he good enough? Is he funny enough? You know, does he fit in with us and all these things? And they're like, yeah. He's perfect. It's fine.
No.
Like everyone says that. Like, he's fine. Like, why are you worried about it? And I'm like, I guess I've resolved to, why am I worried about it? I don't care. So I think that's the important part now is that I don't care. I'm happy with him. So.
Oh, I'm so happy for you.
Yeah.
And I'm just, thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
I know this was hard.
It was hard. It took a long time for me to get here. And to be open and honest with this. Wouldn't that be crazy if we broke up next week? McLovin, if you're pissed about this.
Well, that would make for a great episode.
It would make for a great episode.
I mean.
How did Crystal get into a relationship and then sabotage it and single-handedly ruin it in 1 week? Okay, I think we have some really special messages that we want to send out to the world today just because we can, because they're here and they're a really active part of our life. So
they are our life. They're my branch.
Oh my gosh. They're my branch and my brand. These three mini crystals are freaking hilarious that I'm raising. I mean, they have all of Eric's blood running through them and like all of his genes and man, I mean, but these are three little mini crystals I'm raising. So I would like to take this opportunity to welcome
our kids?
The are Hot we- Widows Club podcast children
to
in. The show. So
we were at church today and Hank being Hank, who's just crawling all over the floor, probably licking the pews. I don't know.
Gross.
I know. He's just. The kid is different,
but
in like a very cool, special way.
Very cool.
Like a rainbow. Anyways, the guy behind me was like, that kid looks so much like you. Like you guys are like identical.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really? I mean, there's obviously features, but like for a stranger.
Are you drunk?
To tell me.
You're fucking mini me. You're nuts.
Okay. Well. Let's bring in the kids. Oh, here comes Violet. She's the cutest thing ever. Hi, Violet.
Hi.
Can you hear?
Yeah.
What is your favorite memory with your dad?
When he would, like, come home and lay on his bed, and I would grab his hat and, like, smell it. Because his hat always smelled really good to me for some reason.
Do you remember what that smell was?
It was probably like the shampoo or conditioner he used with his hair.
Yeah? Aww. Is there anything you want to share on here? Say hi to anybody? Shout out to your best friend?
My best friend doesn't listen. But
I know.
Probably like hi to my aunt because she's like the only one I know.
Oh, your Aunt Jess? Mm-hmm. Hi, Aunt Jess.
Hi, Aunt Jessie.
Aw. Well, thanks for saying hi. You're
welcome.
Oh, here comes Millie, the beautiful Millie. Hi.
Hi.
Can you share your favorite memory with your dad?
There's a lot, huh?
You can share more than one.
So my dad always used to go get like QT iced tea.
Yeah.
In the gas station. And I loved always going there because in the mornings when we go to daycare, he'd get us donut holes. And that would be like the best day ever because we got a cup of donut holes before we went to daycare.
Oh.
That was a ton of fun. And like, I always knew exactly when he was going to pick me up every day from like after school, like the after school program. So I always knew. So it's like, it's 5:30. Oh, he's going to be here like any minute now.
Oh.
I don't know. That's about it. I love mostly just QT and everything. It just has a lot to do with him. Yeah. He'd always have his iced tea with him, and I don't know. It was just a big part of him,
that's
feel
so
like.
That's so funny. I feel like a lot of people talk about that QT.
Yeah, it's got a lot to him. He's just part of it, you know?
Yeah. Do you still talk to your dad?
Every once in a while.
Yeah. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. Want to say hi to anybody?
Hi.
Oh, thank you. Good job.
Yeah.
They're so cute. I love those girls. Hi, Ben. Can you say hi?
Hi.
What do you miss most about your dad?
Driving.
Driving with him? Yeah. If he was here, what would you do first?
Go to QT.
Aw. This QT, we need to go there. Is there anything you want to share? Want to say hi?
Hi.
And what about your dad?
About his beard.
His beard, yeah. He had a really nice beard.
Yes.
Yeah. You're doing great, Ben.
Thanks.
Want to say bye?
Bye.
Bye.
My gosh, those kids of mine, aren't they the cutest? Absolutely love them. So Allie's going to get her kids right now so we can ask them a couple of questions too. Oh, here comes Gussie. I can't wait. Okay, Gussie, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. First of all, what's your favorite sport?
Soccer.
Soccer. Okay, what was your dad's favorite sport? Do you remember?
Football.
It was. Who was his favorite team?
Nebraska.
Yeah. What's your favorite team? Huskers or the Chiefs?
The Huskers and the Chiefs.
Yeah, I like the Chiefs too, buddy. Okay. What is your favorite memory with your dad?
Playing football with him.
Ah, playing football. Gus's favorite food is salmon, and his dad used to make it all the time. Right, buddy? Who makes your salmon now?
Grandpa.
Yeah, Grandpa makes the best salmon in town. Okay, is there anything?
My daddy did it in the whole wide world.
That's right, buddy. Is there anything else you want to share with the audience?
What audience?
They're out there in the world, baby. They're in the universe. They're listening.
No.
No, nothing else to share? All right. Thanks for being on there, Gussie. Hi, Hanky. Hi, Hanky. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, buddy. What's your favorite animal?
A pig.
A pig? What's a pig say? That's right, Hankers. Hankers, what's your favorite sport?
Soccer.
Soccer? That is a really fun sport. What's your favorite thing about your daddy?
Playing.
Mm-hmm. Your daddy was good at playing with you, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He sure was, dude. What's your favorite thing to do now?
Hang with mommy.
Yeah, I know you like to hang with mommy.
And
What is your favorite thing about your mommy, Hanky?
I got to turn you into a frog.
You're gonna turn me into a frog? What are you gonna say to turn me?
I'm gonna dab.
Okay, buddy. If I'm a frog, you have to kiss me. Oh my gosh, Hanky. I love you.
I love you too.
Okay, buddy.
Bye.
Bye, Hankers.
I put a dabble.
Am I Crystal again?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Cool. This is because I'm going to tell you to hear that you can hear me.
Okay. It's a good idea.
Bye.
Bye, Hankers. Okay, world, that is our life. That is what we do 24/7. That's our purpose. That's what we do. And I wouldn't want it any other way.
No, wouldn't want it any other way.
Okay. All right, guys.
Okay, we love you all. Thanks for listening always. Crystal, thanks for sharing, being vulnerable today. I know that was hard.
It was hard.
We all appreciate it. And we look forward to the new year.
Yep. And playing a banjo over my crotch, jacking steel. And Allie, what were you going to try to do? There was something I said that's a good goal for you. Open up your heart, see if there's room for more love in there.
Yep. I'm going to do some hip hop too.
Oh yeah, hip hop dance recital. How did I forget about this? Renee, give me some front row tickets stat for Allie's dance recital.
We're going to plan. We got a big year ahead of us.
Oh,
we're going to plan a golf outing.
Yeah, we
need to. For Ross and Eric.
Mm-hmm. Scholarship.
We are going to have some more people on here.
We are.
Do some more interviews.
Yep.
We're going to go on some trips.
Yep. We are.
And it's going to be a good new year.
And we're going to live our lives on our terms, in our space, yep, on our journeys, whatever that looks like today, tomorrow.
Could change by the hour.
Can be. That's the way I like it. So anyone who has questions for me or Allie or wants to learn more about our journey, please send us an email at thehotwidowsclubpodcast@gmail.com or check out any of our socials under Hot Widows Club Podcast. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.